Ayers. Alice is one of our very own ladies. She has a heart for missions, especially for the Christmas Child Project at Christmas. She lovingly coordinates that every year, and we thank her so much for being a part of our program this morning. Miss Alice?
Good morning. She didn't say it, but I represent the older, more mature Baptist woman. And you'll hear from Hannah next. We switched, and you'll hear from Hannah next with the young person's viewpoint. Women's Missionary Union, as an organization, is well over 100 years old, well over 125 years old, and I couldn't find the exact dates of when it was started. But even though you might see my faltering arthritic step and my white hair up here, I really was not a charter member of WMU. But I've been involved in WMU since at least when I was a teenager. The church that I attended in, or was a member of growing up in Roanoke, Virginia, was a very missions-oriented, missions-involved church, and we had all of the WMU organizations, from the earliest, or the youngest ones, the Sunbeams, then the GAs for girls, RAs for boys were under that WMU at that time. YWAs, which stands for Young Woman's Auxiliary, was the name that we went by at that time. And then, of course, the Baptist Women, or Women on Mission. And through the years, I'm sure El Bethel had those same groupings as we had at the church that I was going to. So many of you have been leaders in those things and been involved in that too. One of the things that I especially remember with regard to the WMU organization was when I was in college, and I was engaged to be married, and the YWA, or Young Women's Organization, had a white Bible ceremony for several of us ladies that were fixing to get married. And so they gave me the little white Bible that I later that summer, when Bud and I got married, I carried the white Bible with my little white roses corsage on that as my flowers in the wedding. So 50 years ago, a little more, 60 years ago, I do go back with the WMU and appreciate the involvement, because I appreciate how it helped to develop various things in my life. But I didn't get up here this morning just to talk about how things used to be or what things used to be. What I would like to talk for just a minute or two about is how I guess with WMU's encouragement and the encouragement of the church, I have learned sort of what my gifts are. I know that one time, many years ago, in our church in Lenore, where we lived, we had a series of sermons that were about the gifts of the Christian, the spiritual gifts of the Christian. And at the end of that sermon series, we all did a little questionnaire to help us determine what our gifts were. And as well as I can remember, the gifts that it said that I had was as a giver and as an encourager. And so you know, I can see how I have been able to do some things with those particular gifts. One of the groups that I was a part of in the church in Lenore, one of the women's groups, and I really prefer to call them circles because that's what we used to call them instead of groups, it was circles, and somehow circles seem to, I don't know, they seem to say to me something that group does not, that feeling of that we're all together and we're all focused on the same thing in the circle. So anyway, the group or the circle, one of them that I was in was called a Dorcas group. And we got the name Dorcas from a character in the Bible. The name Dorcas in Greek is the same thing as Tabitha, which Tabitha is Aramaic, I've learned. And so in the Bible reference, sometimes it says Dorcas, sometimes it says Tabitha. And I want to read to you that little section of scripture. This is from Acts 9, 36 through 42, talking about Dorcas. You'll see why we named our circle after that. Now there was at Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she fell sick and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he had come, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments which Dorcas made when she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. Then turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, rise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Just as Dorcas here was known by the ladies in the community, and I guess everyone in her community, that she made things, she had made these items of clothing for people. Our Dorcas group made things with our hands too. Sometimes we made those fleece blankets that you cut the fringe on the edge and tie the fringe, and we gave those blankets away to sometimes shut-ins, sometimes to our college students when they were going off to, for the high school graduates when they were going off to college. We made the little pillowcase dresses that are often carried to Haiti or to other places. We made some that were given to a missionary to hand out to children in Nicaragua. We made the little, we didn't make many of them because they were very hard to do, but we made some of the little dolls that were used. They had a smiley face on one side and a frown, I guess, or unhappy face on the other, and they were used by missionaries to tell the story of Jesus and how he changes your life. Sometimes we just wrote notes while we were in our meetings, and these notes would maybe be notes of encouragement to people who were sick or something like that. So that's an indication of the kinds of things that I have done in the past. I've always enjoyed making things for people. And even though I'm not able to do many of the things that I used to do, some of the sewing that I used to do and those types of projects, I still like to, if I can, add a little personal touch to the things that, I'm involved in. For instance, we do a project through another organization that is tote bags, we call them, for foster children. And I get a great deal of joy from putting these items together for the foster children. And one of the things that I usually put in the, each bag is a little knitted dishcloth. That doesn't seem like much, but I put it with a note in the bag for the parents, the people who are taking in the foster children. And I tell them that, you know, that now they're going to be washing more dishes so they can use this little dishcloth. But it's just my way of adding a note, adding something of personal to those particular items. I get a great deal of joy from giving. I really do. And as many of you know, I do have a special love for the ministry of Operation Christmas Child through Samaritan's Purse. Again, it's not a project of the Baptist women necessarily. It's done through various things, through schools and other things, but that's my special thing right now, I guess. As this ministry has grown over the past 20 years, this Operation Christmas Child, I have grown in my involvement in this program. Several times I have gone with friends to Boone to the processing center where the boxes are collected and they're gone through to make sure that each one is complete, and they take the money out that you have put in there for shipping and, you know, process the boxes. And I've just been so amazed when I go there and see the things that people think of to put in those boxes. And the best thing of all is to realize that whatever you put in a box, or that I put in a box for Operation Christmas Child, God knows what each child needs and what each child wants, well, maybe what they're even praying for. And I'm just going to get my notes here. No matter what you've put in there, it will go to the child that needs or wants something in that's in that box. Maybe the child needs a new pair of sandals, flip-flops. Maybe the child needs a Bible, something in their own language. And I know we don't have those, but if we put an English portion of scripture or a story about a Bible character like Daniel, there's someone there who speaks English where these children are, and they will make use of that. Even the little note that you put in the box, you think that may not be important, the card or the note or the photograph with your picture on it. But for some of the children, that is the message that they needed to hear, is that somebody somewhere cared enough about them and they get this message that God loves them. Samaritan's Purse also puts in or puts with each box a little brochure, a little booklet that tells them the story of Jesus. And so for every box, and there are millions of them that go out now every year, these children get the story of Jesus. So they're hearing the gospel and hearing about his love. Bud helps me out as I do my shopping, and what I like to do with the Operation Christmas Child things, I hunt year-round. I go through the year looking for things. Here's a recent purchase that Bud found for me. He found these flashlights, nice LED flashlights for $1 a piece, 99 cents a piece actually, at a new store here. Last weekend, I was so excited, thinking of bargains. Again, Bud came home one day and he said, the Walmart neighborhood grocery store has their Valentine things on sale, 50% off. And so, yay. I said, maybe there'll be something there I can use for 50% off. The next day, first we went to Walmart, and Walmart had all of these nice Valentine teddy bears. I've got a couple of dozen of them now. But they were on sale, and after I checked out and I looked at my receipt, I realized they weren't 50% off. They were 75% off. So we went from there to the Walmart neighborhood grocery store. And we bought some more teddy bears. Lots of teddy bears. And they say, either they say love or they say happy day on them. Some of them were big teddy bears too. Again, 75% off. So, let's see. That was on a Friday, I think, or Saturday, last weekend. Well, Sunday, when we were eating lunch after church, I said, Bud, I wish I'd have bought more teddy bears. We could send those to Haiti. We can put the small ones in the Samaritan's Purse box, and we can use the larger ones with the foster children. So for the third time that weekend, we went to Walmart, and we got more teddy bears, and we had dogs, and one lion, and one princess white bear that she had a little tiara on. I think you're getting the point. So this brings me a great deal of joy, and I do think that, I don't know, I can't tell you which came first, the chicken or the egg, whether it was my gift to be a giver, or whether it was something that I learned through WMU, that this would be the type of things that I could do. But anyway, that's me. I think I've made my point here that the El Bethel is a wonderful church. It's a very missions-minded church. I know that you all are involved in especially the medical mission part of this, and I think probably Hannah will talk more about that. But I'm glad to be a Baptist woman. I'm glad to be a part of this church, and I appreciate you. Thank you. These go to the Haiti mission.
Well, before Hannah comes up to speak, we're going to let you guys sing a little bit. So if you'll grab a hymnal or look at the words on the screen, we're going to sing 356. We have a story to tell to the nation. So let's stand together as we sing.
Mm-hmm.
gave a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Last verse. We've a Savior to show to the nations.